Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Good evening, and welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. This is your hostess, Evangelist Teresa Scott. How are you tonight? I am doing great. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just want to tell God thank you today because he's done marvelous things for me. And I know he's done marvelous things for you. So maybe you want to take the time out to say thank you to the Lord. You don't have to wait for Thursday. You know, for Thanksgiving, you don't have to wait for Thursday to say thank you. You can tell them thank you right now. What do you have to thank God for? Number one, you're alive today. I'm alive. Number two, we're in our right minds. At least we think we are.
Hello.
We're in our right minds, and we have a reasonable portion of health and strength today. May not be where we want to be, but thank God we're not where we used to be, and we're striving to where we want to be. But we just want to thank God on today because somebody that was alive yesterday didn't make it to today, and some people that did make it to today didn't make it to this hour, but we're here. So we just want to tell God thank you because he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be thanked. You know, and my husband and I have been going through a situation recently, and, you know, the Lord just showed me something in a dream, and when he showed it to me in a dream, it just made everything okay. And that's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God that we can say thank you to because he'll do things like that to give you peace in your mind. He'll do things like that to help you to calm down and settle down. You know, when things are just not going like they should be going in our estimation. So I thank God for that. I don't know what you thank God for, but that's what I thank God for because lately it's just been really, it's been something. It's been a battlefield of the mind. It's been a battle in the body. It's been a battle in the finances. It's been a battle everywhere that we've turned. It's just been a battle. But, again, I just thank God because he knows what's best for us. He knows what's going to help us. He knows why he's allowing us to go through these things. Amen. So welcome to my husband, Bishop Scott. Welcome to Pastor Felicia. Glory to God. Glad to have her back on the line tonight. And, Pastor
Amen.
Felicia, your mic is open.
Hi, Pastor Felicia.
Hi, how are you?
Missed you, girl. Missed you.
I know I missed you guys, too.
I know you did.
You got that new grandbaby over there.
Oh, my. I know about them new grandbabies. We know about them new grandbabies.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know, we just want to be mindful of the fact that we don't have to wait until Thanksgiving to tell God thank you. We could just thank him every day, even when we don't feel like it. We can tell God thank you because I'm trying to tell you, sometimes some of these things that be happening, we don't want to say thank you, God. Right? I'm just saying, I'm being honest. We don't want to tell God thank you when we going through that stuff that hurt. I know I don't. I'd be like, God, why are you letting me go through this? I'll be going through that kind of craziness right there. Understand what I mean?
Belly beans?
Oh, see. He didn't have to say jelly bean, but he did. But anyway, so since you want to be Mr. Jelly Bean and all that, you can go ahead and pray.
Okay. Oh, gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for this another night. We thank you, Lord, for this another day. Lord, we thank you on this day. We're not going to wait until Thursday to say thank you, for you've been gracious to us every day of our lives. We've been thankful for every good deed that you've done for us, Lord, every forgiving grace that you've provided for us, every merciful act that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you for it all, Lord. We thank you for our family, Lord, that the chain has not been broken, Father. We thank you for the increase in family, Lord, for allowing us to have the love of your son, Yahshua, in our lives. Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you for this program this evening. We pray that something will be said, something will be done to edify and glorify, first of all, you, and to encourage and support others that are listening this evening. You know, during this time, Father, people are even more depressed, more despondent than at any other time of the year during the Thanksgiving and Christmas season as we enter into a new year. We look upon our lives, we look back on our lives, and many times family members aren't with us any longer. People that we shared Christmas with last year and Thanksgiving with last year are not here to enjoy it with us this year. But Lord, we know that you promised never to leave us nor to desert us. And so we thank you that every year, every day, every hour, every moment of our lives, we can share with you. We can lift you up, Lord, in all praise and all glory, for you're worthy of the highest praise and the most profound glory. Oh, Lord, we ask that you would just bless this worldwide over. There's many places in this world that have no peace, that have nothing to be thankful for because of the turmoil and the warring and the conflicts that are going throughout this world, Father. But we ask that you will allow your Holy Spirit to bring a deep, subtle peace, even in confusion, even in despair, even in conflict, Lord, that your presence will make the difference in all the situations that we find ourselves in. We ask, dear Lord, that you'll bless every host and hostess of these Block Talk radio and television programs. May their words, the Holy Spirit in them touch lives throughout this entire globe, Father. We thank you for the airwaves, Lord, because through the satellites and through the airwaves, millions upon millions of people will be revealed to you, will have the revelation of your presence in their lives. And they don't have to be in darkness any longer. We thank you, Lord, because even Christ said, greater works than these shall you do. And part of the greater works is through the satellites and through the airwaves and through the television and through the radio broadcasts that are going and reaching lives in the most remote part of the world. We thank you for that, for they would not have heard it any other way but through these new technological advances. We thank you, Lord, because Satan may be the prince of the air, but you are the ruler and creator of everything, and you have control over everything, and he has to submit to you in everything. And so, Lord, we ask that you'll just bless this evening, that you'll bless this program, that you'll bless this season that we're entering into, Lord, and that your amazing grace will still plead our case in glory. In the name of Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Man. Man. Oh, okay. Man. So, we did Battlefield of the Mind last week, and we started Chapter 13, Pastor Felicia.
Yeah.
In the commemorative book, in the commemorative edition, and we stopped at page 131. And we stopped where it says judging brings condemnation. I was trying to see if we can get some more people to come on tonight. I'm just waiting to see if any more people will log in. As we're on chapter 13 now, we're on a good roll. And I want people to keep logging in so we can go ahead and get through it. My sister's probably not going to be on because she's probably helping my other sister move. So she probably won't be on. We had somebody interesting on last week, Pastor Felicia. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I heard the show. I've been listening.
Girl.
Yeah.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
That's all I'm going to say about that. That was truly interesting. But Jesus is Lord. Anyway, irregardless of what we know the enemy tries to do, Jesus is Lord anyway. And so we got through it, and somebody else was on the line listening, and she was, you know, blessed by the fact that we finally got to the reading of the book. So we have only like four pages left, like, actually. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 4 pages left in chapter 13. So we can do that, and we don't really have to do, like, start chapter 14, but we can go over some questions in the book because I do have the study guide, the study guide to the book. And these, it's a lot of questions. There's actually 12 questions in the study guide. So we can actually go over that after we get finished reading 13. Honey, do you have your book? Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Pastor Felicia, you got your book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we can, we're going to start at the bottom where it says judging brings condemnation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we can start there. Give me 1 second, though. Hold on for 1 second. I need to see. My sister was on her way over here. Because she's supposed to be getting married on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants my husband to do the ceremony, so they're supposed to be coming over here this evening. I don't know where they are, but anyway. So page 131 down at the bottom, judging brings condemnation. You feel like reading?
Okay, let me get in here. I'm in the kitchen. Hold on.
If you're doing something, that's okay. I can read it.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, my neck. Ugh.
You go ahead real quick because I got it.
Okay. Judging brings condemnation. Therefore, this is Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you have no excuse or defense or justification, O man, whoever you are who judge and condemns another. For in posing as judge and passing sentence on another, you condemn yourself because you who judge are habitually practicing the very same things that you censor and denounce. In other words, the very same things that we judge others for, we do ourselves. The Lord gave me a very good example once to help me understand this principle. I was pondering why we would do something ourselves and think it was perfectly all right, but judge someone else who does it. He said, Joyce, you look at yourself through rose-colored glasses, but you look at everyone else through a magnifying glass. We make excuses for our own behavior, but when someone else does the same thing we do, we are often merciless, doing unto others as we want them to do to us. Matthew 7:12 is a good life principle that will prevent a lot of judgment and criticism if followed. A judgmental mind is an offshoot of a negative mind, thinking about what is wrong with an individual instead of what is right. Be positive and not negative. Others will benefit, but you will benefit more than anyone. Guard your heart, Proverbs 4:23. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Let me read that again. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Proverbs 4:23. If you want to have a life flowing to you and from you, guard your heart. Certain types of thoughts are unthinkable for a believer, judgment and criticism among them. All things that God tries to teach us are for our own good and happiness. Following his way brings fruitfulness. Following the devil's way brings rottenness. Be suspicious of suspicion. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. I can honestly say that obedience to this scripture has always been a challenge for me. I was brought up to be suspicious. I was actually taught to distrust everyone, especially if they pretended to be nice because they must want something. In addition to being taught to be suspicious of others and their motives, I had several very disappointing experiences with people, not only before I became an active Christian, but afterward as well. Meditating on the components of love and realizing that love always believes the best has helped me greatly to develop a new mindset. When your mind has been poisoned or when Satan has gained strongholds in your mind, it has to be renewed according to God's word. This is done by learning the word and meditating, pondering, muttering to yourself, thinking on it. We have the wonderful Holy Spirit in us to remind us when our thoughts are going in the wrong direction. God does this for me when I'm having suspicious thoughts instead of loving thoughts. The natural man thinks, if I trust people, I'll be taken advantage of. Perhaps, but the benefits will far outweigh any negative experiences. Trust and faith bring joy to life and help relationships grow to their maximum potential. Suspicion cripples an entire relationship and usually destroys it. The bottom line is this. God's ways work. Man's ways don't. God condemns judgment, criticism, and suspicion, and so should we. Love what God loves and hate what he hates. Allow what he allows and disallow what he disallows. A balanced attitude is always the best policy. That doesn't mean that we are not to use wisdom and discernment in our dealings with others. We don't have to throw open our life to everyone we meet, giving every person we encounter a chance to crush us. On the other hand, we don't have to look at everyone with a negative, suspicious eye, always expecting to be taken advantage of by others.
Mm-hmm.
John 2, verses 23 to 25, trust God completely and man discreetly. But when he was in Jerusalem during the Passover feast, many believed in his name, identified themselves with his party, after seeing his signs, wonders, and miracles, which he was doing. But Jesus, for his part, did not trust himself to them because he knew all men. And he did not need anyone to bear witness concerning man, needed no evidence from anyone about men, for he himself knew what was in human nature. He could read men's hearts. She says, one time after I had been involved in a disappointing church situation, God brought John 2:23-25 to my attention. This passage is speaking of Jesus' relationship with his disciples. It plainly says that he did not trust himself to them. It does not say that he was suspicious of them or that he had no trust in them. It just explains that because he understood human nature, which we all have, he did not trust himself to them in an unbalanced way. She says, I learned a good lesson. I had been hurt badly in the situation at church because I had become too involved with a group of ladies and had gotten out of balance. Every time we get out of balance, we open a door for the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be well-balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. She said, I learned that I had been leaning on ladies in this group and placing in them a trust that belongs only to God. We can go only so far in any human relationship. If we go beyond wisdom, trouble will brew, and we will be hurt. Always place your ultimate trust in the Lord. Doing so will open the door for the Holy Spirit to let you know when you're crossing over the line of balance. Some people think they have discernment when actually they are just suspicious. That's true. That's true.
Amen.
Some people think they have discernment when actually they are just suspicious. This is a true gift of the Spirit called the discerning of spirits.
Hey.
See 1 Corinthians 12:10. It discerns good and bad, not just bad. Suspicion comes out of the unrenewed mind. Discernment comes out of the renewed spirit.
Come on.
Pray for true gifts, not flesh that masquerades as gifts of the Spirit. True spiritual discernment will provoke prayer, not gossip. If a genuine problem is being discerned by a genuine gift, it will follow the scriptural pattern for dealing with it, not fleshly ways that only spread and compound the problem. Pleasant words are sweet and healing, Proverbs 16:23-24. The mind of the wise instructs his mouth and adds learning and persuasiveness to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the mind and healing to the body. Words and thoughts are like bone and marrow, so close, it's hard to divide them. See Hebrews 4:12. Our thoughts are silent words that only we and the Lord hear, but those words affect our inner man, our health, our joy, our attitude. The things we think on often come out of our mouth, and sad to say, sometimes they make us look foolish. Judgment, criticism, and suspicion never bring joy. Jesus said that he came in order that we might have and enjoy life, John 10:10. Begin to operate in the mind of Christ, and you will step into a whole new realm of living.
Mm-hmm.
You'll step into a whole new realm of living. A whole new realm of living.
Realm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And that concludes chapter 13 of Battlefield of the Mind. Unfortunately, you know what, because I should read this whole chapter again, but I don't feel like it. But that chapter was, that was a good chapter, a judgmental, critical, and suspicious mind, because I think a lot of times we do that. We are critical. We are judgmental. I know I'm suspicious. I do that same thing that she said. Well, what they want, why they acting nice, they must want something.
Yep.
Mhm. I do that a lot.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I'll sit back and say, what's their motive for doing that? But then if somebody does that to me, I'm like, why would you say that? Like, I don't have any motives. I'm just doing it because I want to. So the table get turned, and I don't like it. But, yeah, I'm suspicious. But because of the way I grew up, I was just trained, so to speak, to be suspicious. I trusted no one, and I still have problems with trust. Not just because of the way I grew up, but because of things that happened to me in church.
Mm-hmm.
People in church who are supposed to be your spiritual parents, you know, or your spiritual leaders or whatever, and they say X, Y, Z, we love you, we this, we that. And then they turn around and they do stuff to you that be like, what? If you love me, don't. Please don't love me. I'd rather you not love me if this is the way you're going to act.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm talking about in church. I'm talking about church folk, Holy Ghost filled, carrying their Bible, reading their Bible, will speak in tongues more than anybody in the church,
mm-hmm.
okay, and then will turn around and do things to you in the church that'll make you distrust, make you judgmental, make you critical, make you suspicious, make you, I was getting ready to say just mean, but just make you really, really standoffish and be like, no, I don't trust you. No, I'm not coming to your church. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And a lot of people have been hurt in the church. A lot of people are judgmental, critical, and suspicious because of what they've experienced inside the church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the devil is a devil. The devil going to do what the devil's supposed to do. You expect the devil to do the things that he does, right? But as Christians, we don't expect Christians to do the things that they do because as Christians, we're supposed to know better. You know, even with husbands and wives, you know, even though we're husbands and wives, we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, you know, and we don't look at it that way. We tend to forget that we are brothers and sisters in the Lord and, you know, you have the rights to the same rights that I have in Christ Jesus. But we get to a point in our relationships a lot of times where we just, you know, some things that we just shouldn't do as believers. And then we become suspicious and critical and judgmental of one another. Why? Because we've been hurt some way, shape, or form. Now I have to look at you with one of my eyebrows raised. And you have to look at me with one of your eyebrows raised. You know, because we haven't released the judgmental, critical, and suspicious mindset that we have. That's why Romans 12, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, is so important. Because we have to lay down our old mindset and pick up the mindset of Christ. You know, no matter what we're going through, it might not even be a marriage situation. It might just be a family relationship with your brothers and sisters or your kids. You know, or whoever, maybe somebody at your job. But we have to ask God to renew our minds. I know when I was working, I was suspicious of everybody. I was suspicious of the workers. I was suspicious of my boss. I was suspicious of the people that lived where I was working. I was suspicious of everybody. I trusted no one because I didn't know if they was going to do something crazy because they were, where I worked, they were known for foolishness. As a matter of fact, last night, somebody just got killed over there. A resident just got killed. So you had to be suspicious of everybody because you didn't know what was going on. You looking around, you got your eyebrow raised, you know, you looking behind your back, you know, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is crazy. But I liked it because I liked some of the people there. But then you start forming these opinions in your mind. You'd be like, I don't know about so-and-so right there. You know, but guess what? Mm-hmm. At the same time, they were forming the same things about me. Oh, I don't trust her. She says she a Christian, but you know what I mean? Because Christians, we sometimes give ourselves bad names. Oh, if she was a Christian, she wouldn't have acted like that when I did XYZ to her. Yep. Wait a minute. People get on my nerves when they do that. You know I'm a Christian, but on purpose you want to do something, then you want to turn the tables and say, well, if you was a Christian, you wouldn't have acted like that. Go somewhere with that. Go somewhere with that. But it is what it is. So we just got to pray and say, God, I'm suspicious of everybody. I'm critical and I'm judgmental. Please help me. Please forgive me, number one, because we're not supposed to judge one another. Okay. But you can't be dumb either, Pastor Felicia.
Right.
That's why we got to have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will give you a radar. And he'll say, not that person. Back up from that person. You can only go so far with this person. And the Holy Spirit will do that. When the Holy Spirit tells us a lot of stuff, but we just don't listen.
That's true.
And then we wonder why that situation happened. Because the Holy Spirit said, don't, and you did. You know what I mean? Don't, and you did. Like me, I keep trying to go back to work. Every single time I try to go back to work, something happens. Every time I fix my face to say I'm going back to work, something happens. I kid you not. Every time. And the Lord's saying, don't, you know. But I'm critical. I'm critical of myself. Sometimes I'm critical of my husband. I'm judgmental. Because I don't have faith in God. If I don't have faith in God, then that's where the judgment and criticism comes from. That's where the suspicious mind comes from, when you don't have faith in God and you're looking at people and you know what I'm saying? You trust in people and not trust in God. And God says, you keep talking about faith, but when you gonna have faith and trust me? That's not having faith when you're running out trying to get a job because the people say they're coming to get your stuff, or the people say they're going to do this and they're going to do that. That's not having faith in God. That's having faith in people. The wonder God. I wonder, I'm glad God is God, because people still have to be suspicious of me. They'd be like, that monkey right there, always talking about she believe in me, but she don't. But he already know. He knows Teresa. He knows Teresa. He knew me when I was in my mom's womb. He knew me before I was in my mother's womb, just like he know y'all. But he want us to get to a place where we can be so in him. Oh, my God. I long for that place. I long for that place to be in him where, I could just trust him and just be led by his spirit. And no matter what people say and no matter what people do, that I know that God got me. I just want to be in that place where, you know, the Holy Spirit can lead me. I saw somebody post it on Facebook. You gotta let God lead you in everything, in every decision that you make. Every decision that you make. Somebody was offering us a vehicle today. I just, right before the broadcast, I came back. I went to go see the vehicle. And I have a concern about the vehicle. And the only thing is, you know, is that my husband, I want to make sure my husband can fit in it properly, right? So I'm sitting here thinking the whole time, why do he want to give us his van? Why do, you know, what's his motive behind it? What's the problem? What, you know, is there something wrong with the van? He trying to get over? You know, all this stuff going over in my mind. Instead of just looking at it as God wanting to bless us. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All this suspicious stuff going on in my mind. Okay? I'm sitting here right now when I don't have the van. The van, I told him to take the van home. And I'll check it out on Saturday to see if my husband can fit in it. Okay, but the whole time, I'm critical in my mind. you know, before I saw the van, I was like, yeah, the van must be towed up from the flow up. That's why he's trying to get rid of it. You know, he's just trying to take advantage of me because I'm a female. You know, this stuff was going through my mind the whole time. Suspicious. Because who going to just give you a van? But see, then when we pray and say, God, I believe that you're going to send somebody to give me a van, and then he sends somebody to give you a van, you be all this crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Have you ever been there, Felicia? Well,
yes.
You done prayed your heart out and asked God for X, Y, Z, and then he send it, and you be like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Can I interject myself real quick?
No.
Thank you so much. I will anyway. Nevertheless, we have to be careful of that because I like what you said. And then what I say is, if the van doesn't come through, don't blame nobody.
Right.
If he changes his mind, because maybe he'll say, well, maybe I'm doing, see, something getting in his mind because of your suspicious mind.
Right.
He'll say, well, why should I give it to him for nothing? I don't really know them. I just met them, about a month ago. I mean, they're not friends of mine. I can't really say they're friends. I can't even say they're colleagues, you know, in the sense of worshiping together. I worshiped together one time with them, and I was really doing photography then. I really wasn't, videoing then. I wasn't really worshiping in the truest sense of the word. I wasn't a preacher or anything. So why should I really do this? Maybe I should reconsider giving it to them for nothing or at a low cost. Maybe I should reconsider this. We have to be careful, and the word tells about it, you know, what we speak out, because then it enters into the spirit of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
They had a pure motive, but because your motive is suspicious, now their motive becomes suspect.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I'm like this. I say, you know, if it don't pan out, we can't say nothing. We really can't say anything, you know. But I'm glad that you confess it. Therefore, God can now change it again and make it right again because you recognize the fact, you know, that was suspicious of me. You know, I'm gonna take it at face value. If it doesn't, I'm gonna still take it at face value. I'm not gonna be the one to put the whammy on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna be the one that takes the blessing away. If it is a change, it is like a lot of times, you know, and you know it's true as my wife and as my associate in ministry, my assistant in ministry, we started out with a lot of people that said, oh, yeah, the Lord said this and the Lord said that, and he brought us all together, and we're going to do a great work. And the plans were wonderful, and the plans would have worked. But somewhere along the way, they began to doubt, and then everything fell through. And then we wonder, well, was it really? No, it was God said that. Did God, see, God can bring things about, but then we have to accept it. That's where faith comes in.
Mm-hmm. Why did you stop?
Oh, no. You know, and so that's where we have to, no, I was distracted, I'm sorry. But that's where we have to be careful. Because oftentimes, God will bless us with what we've asked for. Lord, we can't afford this. Lord, make a way. Touch somebody's heart. Change somebody's mind. Let them have empathy and compassion, sympathy, and show loving kindness towards us. And then somebody comes through and does all that and a couple of other positive virtues that they throw our way. Oh, no, it's just too good to be true. Nobody, everybody has a motive behind everything. And that's the flesh.
But then some.
Talking, you know.
Sometimes we get suspicious and critical and judgmental about some things, not realizing that some of the things that we ask God for, sometimes we move out of season.
Yeah.
And some of the things we ask God for.
Something you eating some.
Huh?
God.
Anywho, sometimes we move out of season. Sometimes we move out of God's timing. And when things don't go right and then we want to be suspicious or critical or judgmental, well, you moved out of God's timing. That happens. Sometimes God will say X, Y, Z, And because God said XYZ, either he spoke it to us in a still small voice, or he used a prophet, or he used somebody to give us a word of wisdom or whatever, because you said this over and over again. Just because somebody comes to you and prophesies and say, God says you're going to be a pastor or whatever, don't mean you got to run out there tomorrow, go get your clergy shirt, and go get your church building and be a pastor.
Right.
Okay? And a lot of times things do fail because it's out of season. It's out of God's timing. Or sometimes we didn't follow, you know, exactly what the Lord said to do.
We didn't follow through with it ourselves.
Exactly. So we got to look at all sides of the coin when we talk about these things, too, because we be in error. We be in error a lot of times just simply by moving out of God's timing. For real. Just, okay, Lord, did you say go now? And that's what I'm trying to learn right now is I'm trying to, how do you say it, Pastor Felicia? I'm just trying to allow the Holy Spirit to lead me in what to do.
Right.
Okay? Like I said, somebody had said on Facebook today, we got to ask God about everything. We got to ask him about everything. Should I work here, Lord? Should I knew somebody who asked God everything, even to the clothes that they were supposed to wear the next day.
Hey, that's where it should really be.
They wouldn't even get dressed. They was like, the Holy Spirit ain't tell me what to wear yet. I was like, you kind of, something wrong. Like, no, come on now. You mean tell me you can't even get up and put some clothes on? Are you serious? But that's how she was.
And let me say this too. Evangelist Scott, Evangelist Max said this, and I've heard it many times before, but it just pierced my spirit this time, maybe because of what we're going through as well. Sometimes things will hit you differently when you're going through what they're saying. And she said this, she said, I'm going to expand it. She said some people, but I'm going to say some things as well as some people are meant for a reason. Some people are meant for a season. Some people and some things are meant for a lifetime. And sometimes we don't know which is which. We want to keep people in our lives forever, and they were in our lives for a reason. And after that reason has been, sometimes people are in our lives to motivate you, not to really help you, just to get you started again, you know, get you inspired again. But they move on. You say, well, they got me inspired, but then I'm backed out. No, that was the only reason for their being in your life at that moment. Then there's people that are for a season. They last a little while longer. They may help you start the thing, whatever you're going to start. But they're not going to be in it to the duration. And then there are people that are there for the rest of your life, that there for a lifetime. And I think not just people, but I think situations are too. I think some situations in our lives are meant just for a reason. Some are meant for a season, and some are meant to be there permanently in our lives. And that's where we have to, that's where prayer comes in. That's where prayer comes in. The Holy Spirit works through the Word, but he also works through that prayer life. And the Word will encourage you, the Word will direct you, but the prayers will give you the sense of timing and the sense of purpose in what you're doing. It'll direct you. You know, it'll direct you. It'll tell you, okay, now is the season. And we need to pray sometime because I believe that many a door are opened that we don't walk through because we're so hesitant and so out of step with the Holy Spirit that we don't know when the Holy Spirit is actually telling us to move forward.
And so critical and so judgmental.
Yeah, and we really tie the hands of God because that's what the Holy Spirit is. We tie God's hand. He said, okay, now you ask for this thing. It's in my will to do. Now I'm ready to do it. And we still are reluctant. We still got a double take on it. We got to ask somebody else. We got to get confirmation from people. We got to get confirmation from a prophet. Let me tell you something. There is no prophet greater than the prophet called Yahshua. There's none.
Yeah.
If God gives you instruction to do something, ain't no prophet confirming nothing. What can a prophet say? What can a preacher say? What can even a pastor say that's contrary? If you really know, sure enough, I don't mean if you hesitant, you don't know quite whether this is God's voice or the devil's voice or your voice or your mama's voice. I'm not talking about that. But when you are convinced this is of God, there's no doubt in my mind. All doubts are settled. This thing is of God. This is what my purpose was. This is what God's plan was for my life from the foundation of my birth. And before that, I know this is what God birthed me to do. And you are certain about it with no hesitation. You don't need no confirmation. You don't need a confirmation. First of all, I guess I'm a suspicious spirit about spirits. You know, I am very suspicious about spirits. You can get five prophets, and they can say five different things.
By the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to discern what is an agreement with what God has already told you. That's the best way, you know. And really, I gauge it like that. I really do. When I hear a prophet speak over me, the first thing that comes to my mind is, Lord, is that what you told me?
All right.
Is that where you're leading me, Lord? Because God is going to talk to you first. I don't care what nobody says. God's going to,
that's
I don't
right.
care if you just put a little bit in you. Maybe you just put a drop in you. Something's going to hit your spirit that reminds you of what God has told you need to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, for example, a prophet told me that I was going to write a book, that I was meant to write a book. That he didn't know I was writing a book. He didn't know that I wanted to write a book. He didn't know there was a couple of books in my spirit. So when he said that, it confirmed what I already had known even before he said it. So we have to kind of know our place in God to know what prophecies are really from heaven and what prophecies are from the individual who's speaking them.
That's right.
And discern false prophets and real prophets. Because God's not going to be contrary to his word. He's not going to tell you one thing and the prophet tells you another thing. That's confusion, and God is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
I don't know which way to go. The prophet told me to do this, but I think God told me to do that. But the prophet said, no. First of all, to me, the final authority is always God. There is no prophetic word outside of God, because no prophet's supposed to speak outside of God.
Mm-hmm.
A prophet is not under any other leadership like other people are. A pastor's under a bishop. This is under that, and all this. The deacon's under the elders, and all this. That's not how a prophet works. A prophet and an apostle hears directly from God, not from man. They're not even accountable to man. They're accountable to God. So anytime a prophet is saying something, and he's saying something in accordance with man is saying or whatever, I'm suspicious when prophets come in and all of a sudden they got this word that's encouraging the pastor and this, or it sounds like the pastor has whispered something in their mind, in their heart. And maybe the God's told them this too. I don't know. But I seek God. I seek God. Lord, is this really the prophet, or is the prophet's best friend to the pastor, and he's trying to support the pastor's calls, so he calls in the prophet to confirm so people can say, oh, the prophet said. I'm very, you know, I just seek the Lord. When things are suspicious, I seek the Lord. I don't seek man. I seek the Lord. And I have a deep, subtle peace about a lot of things, and people don't understand why I have a deep, subtle peace about it. I have a stirring in me, but it's a stirring that I quickly arrest in me. I worry about things. I'm concerned about things. I have anxiety about things. I'm frustrated about things, too. But I quiet it. I say, no. No. No, I'm not going to let this overcome me. No. I refuse to let this change who I am. No. I'm not going to let it keep me up at night. I'm not going to let it change my personality. I refuse. I make myself not do it. I make myself not anxious. I make myself not filled with frustration and linger in it. Do I get anxious? Yes. But I release it. I turn it to something else. It may be a frivolous thing. But if it takes my mind off of being anxious, then that's a good thing for me. It works for me. Because I don't want to be anxious. Because being anxious brings fear and doubt, and then faith is out the door. I have no place for faith in this thing when I start letting anxiety overwhelm me, when I just let frustration overcome me, when I become depressed. Now, there's no room for faith.
Mm-hmm.
There's no room for faith, because faith can't work in this. It can't work in this mess, because this is not faith at all. This is the opposite of faith. So when I find myself like that, yes,
I want certain things to come about. Yes, I want my wife to be happy. Yes, I want my home to be a home people can come to and they can say, this is really a nice place. It makes me have pride when people walk in here and look at this and look at that and they say, man, you really, this house really looks nice. It's always clean and all this kind of, it makes me feel good. Of course I would feel good about that. Who wouldn't? But I got to weigh everything. I got to say, but if something's taken away, am I filled with anxiety because of it? Or do I trust that God will bring something better? And I'm believing God's going to bring something better for my wife and for me. And if it means you have to, and let me tell you this, God's telling me this right now. Something got to be taken out for me to put something better. You can't have all this in here. You can't have what you have already and what I have for you too. It ain't going to fit in this place.
Amen.
So something got to go anyhow. Are you going to believe me or are you going to believe the man? Which one are you going to believe? Who's what you going to believe?
Mm-hmm.
And then just like Peter and John said, you be the judge. You be the judge, Joel. You be the judge. You want to trust man or you want to trust God? You want to listen to man or you listen to God? You be the judge of it. You tell me. Which one you want to listen to? But when man fails you, which he will 9 times out of 10, they'll come back to me and say, well, Lord, I should have because you knew that in the beginning. You knew that in the beginning. You're a man of faith. You knew that in the beginning for the trust in me. But because you trust in man, that's where you're in the situation you're in now.
Amen. Amen.
So I just behoove to myself, I'm speaking first partaker. When I'm filled with trepidation, when I'm filled with confusion, when I'm filled with anxiety and doubt and all those things that everyone finds themselves in at times, I'm no different than anybody else. I say, no. I refuse to let this happen. I refuse to let my mindset dwell on these things. I refuse to. Because if I allow it to, then I become very despondent. I just say, look, I'm 61 years old. What do I got to prove for 61? What do I have to prove? My life's almost over. So it's not many more days. I've lived long and I'm going to live. And I can look at the world as me and what I used to be at 20 and what I used to be at 30 and 40. You know, when I was pastoring and it was the big honcho everywhere and everybody knew Reverend Scott and da-da-da-da. You know, I was, you know, and all this. I can live on my laws, but I don't want to live on my laws. God says there's greater things yet in store, but you have to trust in me. I'm not leaving you behind. I don't go by glory days. I go by right now a day. I don't even go by tomorrow a day. I'm going by right now a day. If you trust in me, your today will be better. And it starts with your mind. That battlefield of mind, it starts with your mind, and before it even gets to your mind, it starts in your heart. If your heart begins to get right, your mind begins to get straightened out. And when your mind gets to be straightened out, your life is easier and peaceful. Even while you're going through, I can still smile. Even while I'm going through, I can still laugh. Even while I'm going through, I can still praise and worship and think better of what my tomorrow is going to be than my today. I'm not going to let it happen. I refuse. Because God has brought me through, and I can never forget that. And every time I have a war with me, pity party, it's like me forgetting what he's done already and how ungrateful that is. We were in Bible study on last Tuesday. We're going to be in tomorrow. And we were talking about, you know, what was the difference between Peter and Paul and John and Joel and Teresa and Felicia? What's the difference? What's the difference between us and them? Christ was an immaculate conception. He was God incarnate. He was all that, but Peter wasn't. Paul wasn't. Naomi wasn't. Ruth wasn't. Those people were just ordinary folk who decided to make Jesus their choice. Old Testament, of course, made God their choice. And New Testament, making God in the Trinical sense of the word, their choice. They decided to sell out. Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have in the name of Jesus. We don't have the house of the Lamb, but in the name of Jesus. We get ready to go to our execution, every single one of them. Some by sword, some by crucifixion, some by boiling it all, some by being put to the fire. All those awful things, but they always said, in the name of Jesus. Everything.
everything was in Christ's name. He came first. Governor was about ready to, when he was hanging on the cross for 2 days, the governor was being besieged by the people who were being converted into Christianity by Andrew on the cross, and they asked him, please take him down. And Andrew said, oh no, I'm going to stand on the truth of Christ, and I'm going to do it through my blood. I'm going to do it through my blood. And what kind of men, what kind of women were these that sacrificed their very lives before their death and after that, and during their death, and I believe after their death, standing for the right? Ordinary men like you and I, born of mothers and fathers, many were husbands and wives, but they still gave their last measure of devotion to Christ. And why did they do it? Because they were sold out, and we aren't like that. We talk about love and you know, he's the greatest thing ever happened to me, and all this type of thing we sing and we say and we pronounce in sermon and song. But then a little breeze blows by. Not a wind, not a hurricane, not a tornado, not a tsunami, but a little breeze blows by and knocks us off kilter. It sets us back. We're almost going to start over again. Come on, folk. Battlefield of the mind. Changing your mind. Turning your mind around. Turning your heart away from the things and cares of this world and setting it on Christ Jesus, knowing that in the end, he's the one. This is nothing but temporal. This is nothing but temporary. This is nothing but finite. This is here today and it's gone tomorrow. If you need to be 100 years old, that's a twinkle of an eye to eternity. Not even a twinkling. It's not even a blink compared to eternity. This thing in this world is a temporary, momentary thing that will one day soon end for all of us. And only what we do for Christ will last. And then we got to ask ourselves, what am I doing for Christ? If that's the thing that's going to last, then I got to ask myself, what am I doing for Christ? Thank you.
He just end like that. All right. Pastor Felicia?
Yes?
Do you have anything to say?
No, ma'am.
You saying, well?
Ooh.
Well?
I don't know what that humming is, but I would like to say good evening. We have we had a guest in the chat room. They disappeared right quick. Somebody else has popped in. I don't know if it's the same person. And hello, Lisa. How you doing? Oh, she was on the line. She gone too. She was just on the line. She probably leaving from work though. She was on her work line. I should have played. I'm going to see. I don't know if you guys. Let me see if I can play this. You guys can hear this. I don't know if you guys will be able to hear, but I'm just going to try and see. If I can play this. It's gearing up. Actually, these are the CDs from Battlefield of the Mind that I have gotten when we ordered the book. It was a special that she was having. You could buy the book and then get the CDs too. So let me see if I can play this, if you guys can hear it. Okay, it's not trying to do it. All right, we won't be playing that because now it's not trying to work. But that's okay. Jesus is Lord. Because we're still going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it, yes. Let me see. Now I might be trying. Nope, I don't want to do it. Okay. So let's go to some of the questions then in the study guide in chapter 13. Question 1, it says, read Matthew 7:1. Then it says, A, what does it mean to judge others? And B, why is judging others wrong? So we know what Matthew 7:1 says, right? Judge not, lest you be judged.
Mm-hmm.
So after reading Matthew 7:1, judge not, lest you be judged, the question A says, what does it mean to judge others, and why is judging others wrong? Pastor Felicia?
Yes, ma'am. As far as, okay. Like judging, Okay, judging others, why is it wrong to judge others? When you judge them according to their appearance, because there's also a scripture that says spiritual judges all things. I believe that we as believers, we can judge, but we're not to judge. But the Bible teaches us how to judge as we look in Matthew 7, amen, 7:1. We're not to judge like according to outer appearance or, you know, with a critical, and then like we're talking about the suspicious mind. Let me see. Hold on. I only got the question again. I'm sorry. I'm nervous now.
That's okay.
And somebody, if we're doing like some of the same things that they're doing, it was something that she said in her book. I'm trying to find it that stuck out.
We look at
other people with like a magnifying glass.
Right, right.
I'm trying to find that. I'm trying to find it in the book real quick. Somebody else can jump in. a judgmental mind. You know, like, and she talked about also that the judgmental mind is an offshoot of a negative mind. You know, we think about, like, a lot of times when we're so judgmental, you know, it says, like, we think about what is always wrong with the individual instead of look at what is right. You know, we always look at the negative, but we never see what's positive. You know, what's positive? Why not look at the positive things that a person does? You know, growing up, if you hear a lot of negativity, you know, you want to think negative of yourself, you know? So,
I sent somebody a message one day on Facebook, and I said, what's right, instead of what's wrong. I said, what's right? Anyway, what's wrong with you? No, what's right? I don't want to hear what's wrong. What is right? And they didn't understand why I would ask that, because people are so used to asking what's wrong and then going into the blah, 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 whatever, whatever, whatever. That's what you just got finished saying. A judgmental mind is an offshoot of a negative mind, thinking about what is wrong with an individual instead of what is right. Now, I believe that we're not supposed to condemn people. I don't think that we are the behavior police. I don't think that God has called us, ordained us, sanctified us, set us apart and all of that for us to be the spiritual police, in the sense that every time somebody do something, we're supposed to be on their case. Well, you this and you that.
Exactly.
Stop doing this, stop doing that. That makes people not want to serve God. Like, can you back up and can you just chill with that and stop doing that? That makes people not want to serve God, because it's always a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts. However, say it like this. However, if somebody is living a lifestyle of sin, okay, a lifestyle of sin, and you point the scripture out to them and say, brother or sister, you're committing adultery, you know, pull them to the side, if the Lord leads you to do that, okay?
Right.
So you pull them to the side and say, you know, the scripture says X, Y, Z, and you tell them about it and you leave them alone. That's not your business to get on the phone and call everybody and say, you know, they committing adultery. You know, they doing this or yada, whatever, whatever. That's not your business to do that. On the other hand, if God says, if he shows you something about somebody, he might not even tell you to tell them that you know that they're doing X, Y, Z. He might just have you pray for them.
Pray for them. Mm-hmm.
Okay? A lot of times, God could give somebody a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. He can give them, you know, a prophetic word about so-and-so, whatever the case is. But that's not for us to sit there and judge them. Now, I don't know how to say this without getting in trouble. Right. As far as homosexuality is concerned in the church, there's other sins besides homosexuality, but we do harp on homosexuality. Okay? We harp on homosexuality more than anything else. However, if somebody is living a lifestyle of homosexuality and they're in a church, I just got a problem with it. If you're openly living that way, I don't say things to a lot of people because there's a lot of people that I've seen that are living an openly homosexual life, but I don't say things to them. But I'm judgmental and I'm critical. And I think I be looking at them like they know they wrong. I don't want to hear them preach. I don't want to hear them sing. I don't want, well, I ain't going to say I don't want to hear them sing because there's a lot of people now that's out here singing and are living openly gay lives or secretly gay lives, okay? They're doing it, you know, they're wearing bow ties now, I guess, to let people know that that's really what they are or whatever the case is. The music is good. The music is good. I hear it on the radio. I'll download it from YouTube or whatever the case is. I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to have you on my show. I had somebody on my show that I was suspicious of, but after I did that, I felt so bad. I was like, God, how can I promote this if this is true?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't think that we're supposed to promote stuff if it's true. I'm still praying about that. I'm still praying about because God will use whoever he want to use to get whatever he want to get out, okay? But I just don't think that we should blatantly throw our sin in God's face and then expect him to bless it. I don't care if it's lying, if it's, you know, you doing stuff behind closed doors, because guess what? I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect, but God uses me, okay? I don't know anybody who's perfect, but God uses people to draw people. Okay, I'm striving to live a better life. I really am. But I'm not perfect. So all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We don't want to judge people because we don't want to be judged. It's wrong to judge people because according to what Joyce Meyer says, when we judge people, it's like passing sentence on them. It's like we feel like we're better than them because they've done something that we're not doing. They're doing a particular sin, but we're not doing it. Well, if you're standing in judgment of somebody to the point of condemning them, you got a problem. Okay? You really have a problem. If somebody's sinning and they're openly sinning and you don't want to be bothered with them, don't. But you don't have to get on the phone and call everybody and tell everybody. Because guess what? God is going to expose when it's time to be exposed, all right? And guess what? If I'm doing something and I don't want it exposed, I better keep my mouth shut because what goes around comes around.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You better watch what you're doing. You better take the beam out your eye, okay, while you looking at other people. What are you doing that's not right? While you sitting around judging X, Y, Z, what are you doing that's not right? Are you perfect? I don't think so. I haven't seen a perfect person yet. People are striving for perfection, but I haven't seen a perfect person yet. Okay? Romans 12:3, she says, a judgment and criticism are evident of what deeper problem? And what is the only reason we are able to excel in an area? Judgment and criticism are evidence of what deeper problem.
like some insecurities, right?
Yeah. If you always judging and criticizing somebody, you got some type of insecurities going on.
Mm-hmm.
You always judging, always criticizing. Nothing never right with that person. Nothing.
Or anybody.
But then when it comes down to you, no, you the best thing since sliced bread. Who, me? You talk about me? I don't do nothing. Me? I'm always doing the right thing. But that's the wrong answer. Because every one of us has something in us that we need to get better at. Every one of us has something in us that we need to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, whether it's wrong thinking, whether it's a wrong attitude. And you know wrong thinking is going to make you have a wrong attitude, right? Whatever you meditate on all day long is going to make you, I mean, that's how you're going to act. If you look at X, Y, Z and saying, God, now you know they over there committing adultery. Why they not in trouble? Why you not getting them? Is that your business? Well, X, Y, Z was caught doing X, Y, Z. Why they still got a TV program? Why they still pastoring? Why they still, is that your business? Last time I checked, it wasn't. But we sit around and we judge and we criticize. We're suspicious and all this other stuff. Look, some people make you suspicious. I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna front. Some people just do stuff and you just be like, I wonder. Yeah, I'm suspicious. Yup, I sure am. I ain't gonna sit here in front and act like I'm not. Yup. And sometimes we're suspicious because people have shown us a lot of things.
That's
in
right.
Their actions. So now because you're saying something different, I'm a little bit suspicious because of what you've shown me so much.
Mm-hmm.
That still don't give us the right to be suspicious and judgmental. Because I don't want people to be suspicious and judgmental and critical of me. So we just gotta get it together. We'll be all right. We shall be all right if we let the Holy Ghost lead us.
If we let Him lead us, that's right.
And that's what we don't do. Because we want to be in control. And women, we know we like to be in control. We know we're not even going to sit here in front and act like we don't because we like to be in control. We want to be in control of everything. We want to be. I have never asked my husband how he wants the house to look because I'm supposed to be. I'm in control. I don't think you're going to say what I want you to say, so I'm not going to ask you. And his idea could be better than mine. Now, this is something Joyce Meyer said in her book about her husband. Then she had to realize that just because his idea is different from hers doesn't mean that his idea is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that I know everything. I think my decorating ideas are better than his. But I've never given him the opportunity to express what he would want in the house because he doesn't seem to care. So I don't ask him. But I think I'll ask him this time and say, honey, what would you like? He already said he want leather, and quickly I disagree with that. Really? I'm like, oh, no, leather's going to be too hot in the summer. And then if we get a cat, the cat's going to scratch up the leather. You know, he agreed. But if he going to buy it, if he want leather, I guess he can get leather. That doesn't make his opinion wrong just because he gave it. And it doesn't make mine right just because I gave it. I got to take my big girl pill on that one because I'm always right. And that's the problem. That's a problem with us women folk. We think we always right. We think we got the answer to everything, and that is not the case.
Right.
So we got to chill out and just be like, okay, just chill out and be like, I don't even let, well, we don't have a vehicle. Well, we're about to get one, but I don't even let my husband go to the grocery store with him. Like, he ain't going to get the right stuff. Just, like, automatically, like, mm-mm. That kind of craziness right there. And then you get mad when you got to do everything. Well, you don't let them do nothing, so what's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Then you become judgmental, then you become critical, then you become angry, then you become all this other stuff. But see, what we have to do is go to the root of problems. We don't want to go to the root of the problem. We want to just mess with it at the surface. We just want to just, you know how we do, Felicia. Come on in.
Oh, yeah.
Girl power. We just want to touch stuff at the surface instead of going deeper down inside. And we have to say, Lord, show me. Okay? I'm looking at XYZ person, but show me. And we don't want to see ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's not pleasant when you have to look at yourself and judge yourself and criticize your actions and your motives. It's not pleasant when you have to do that. But guess what? When you do it, it brings about a healing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God can work with us when we begin to look at ourselves. He can. So I think in 2013, I think we should really, you know, just tell the Holy Spirit, we don't want to live 2013 like we did 2012. All of the wrong thinking, the wrong attitudes, the wrong behaviors, we want to get rid of them. We want to have the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. And I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit takes over, it's such a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, two things happened today that I just asked the Holy Spirit because I just finally surrendered. I was like, you know what? I'm just tired of this. I can't do this no more. I just need you, Holy Spirit, to do X, Y, Z. Do this, do that. I just need you to lead me. And he did. But see, then when God steps in, the story is different. The story is not the same when God steps in. So we have to give him that space to step in. We have to trust him enough to know that God is going to make the right decision and he's going to make it better. Anything that God does is better. Everything he does is better. We make a mess out of stuff. When we become judgmental and critical, that's why folks don't want to come to church. They don't want to come. The young folk don't want to come to church. But the old folk always got something to say. The people that's been saved for a long time got something to say. But on the other hand, Pastor Felicia, when I was younger and I was in church, the older people didn't play, but the older people prayed. When the older people said something to you, they didn't say it to you to condemn you. They said it to you so you can get right.
That's right.
They said it to you so you can get your soul right with God. They wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm.
They wasn't trying to spread your business all over the church. They were trying to make sure your soul got saved.
Mm-hmm.
If they smelled sin on us, they put us on that altar and made us stay there.
On the altar, sure did.
You don't see that now.
Mm-mm.
The stuff from the old days, you don't see that. You don't see a lot of the stuff from the old days when the church mothers, when they allowed the church mothers to pray with the young girls, when they allowed the deacons or, you know, whoever the men were to pray with the young men. You don't, it's
It's not like that now. People go to the altar and say they give their life to the Lord. They take you in the back room and pray with you. And if you hear from somebody after that, you doing good.
Mm-hmm.
People basically left to their own unless somebody's criticizing them. You know, you come to church. Me and my sister was going to my other sister's house yesterday. Yesterday was Sunday, yeah. And saw this young girl coming out the church. I didn't see her. My sister saw her. And she had on a really, really, really short dress and tall boots, you know, really high boots that went up to her knees, I guess. And my sister was like, why would she go to church looking like that? Well, where's the mothers at that would say, baby, come here. Let me pray for you. Let me tell you how a holy woman dresses. Mm. You know what I mean? Where's the people at that do that? Where's the people at that love you enough to pull you to the side and give you godly instruction? Let the older women teach the younger women.
Mm-hmm.
But where are they? Where's the older woman at, Pastor Felicia? How many women is in your church? How many older women are in your church that really pull people to the side and put them to the altar and pray with them and counsel them, godly counsel?
Mm-hmm.
I would rather for somebody to come to me and come to me in a godly way, not in a judgmental and critical way. And that's what God is teaching me. He's teaching me how to talk to people in a way that will not offend them or cause them to run away from him, but cause them to respect what he wants them to do. You know, I deal with people who drink morning, noon, and night.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought is that, you know, that's all you do is drink. You get on my nerves. Like, I really don't feel like being bothered with you. But that's not the attitude that he wants us to have, because that's a judgmental, critical spirit right there.
Mm-hmm.
You can't win souls like that. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Yeah. We have to be wise in order to win souls. And judging them is not going to make them come in. Not wanting to be around them is not going to make them come in. Jesus was in and out with the people. He wasn't in the club with them and all that like that, but he was mingling with the people. He was out there with them,
mm-hmm.
laying hands on them, praying for them, ministering the word to them. But we get so holy, we act like we just can't. Well, now I can't deal with them because they this and they that. That's not what God wants. He don't want that. And I don't want to be held accountable for acting like that towards people and then wondering why they don't want to get saved. Because you're going to judge them. Every little thing they do, you're going to judge them. And forget where God brought us from. Because we weren't saved always. Even when we got saved, we was acting a fool. And we saved now and sometimes still act a fool.
That's right.
I ain't going to tell you how bad I acted recently. out of fear. Out of, you know, just not trusting God, looking at the situation.
Yeah.
But I believe that God will use that situation so I can minister to somebody else and let them know, don't do that. I went through that already. I could tell you something about that. Don't do that. That's not where God wants you.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we gotta stop being so critical and so judgmental, and then God, he'll add the increase. He'll do what he wanna do. And if we think XYZ about somebody, let's pray for them.
Amen.
And we pray for them and watch God change the situation around. Because God can deal with people way better than us. He's been dealing with people since the beginning. So he's a great judge of character. He really is. So say.
Amen.
That's all I got to say. And guess what? Jesus is Lord.
Yes, he is.
Jesus is Lord. But we're going to continue this, as the Lord says. We'll continue on Monday with chapter 14. See if you can invite some friends. I'm going to see if I can invite some friends. And we're going to continue with chapter 14. And chapter 14.
The passive mind.
The passive mind. And it would just do good to read that before we even get on here. You know, because we might have some questions. That's a relatively short chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I have my book. I have my softback book. When I first bought this, I have notes on top of this thing. I got notes and notes and notes. And I'm just going to go back and I'm going to read this again. And then when we go through this on Monday, Lord, if the Lord allows us to go and do this, we're going to just go ahead and really get into this and dissect it and, you know, really just say, God, look, I need you to help me. If we got a passive mind, ask God to help us so that we don't have a passive mind. We want to be all that we want to be in God. We really do. I know I do. So
amen.
Whatever we got to do, we got to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to end the broadcast right now.
Amen.
And just tell God thank you for what he's done. And remember, we should be back on Wednesday. I don't know what to call Wednesday, but we should be back on Wednesday. And I know people are preparing for Thanksgiving and everything and this, that, and the third. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord.
Yes, he is.
Let's just make sure that we remember to thank God, you know, before, during, and after Thanksgiving, because he's always worthy.
Yes, he is. Amen.
Always doing something worthy of us to tell him thank you for. You know, even though we might not think it sometimes, but it is true. So, okay.
Okay.
Yes.
So God bless y'all.
Bless you.
And we're going to take it in. Amen.
Take it on home.
God bless y'all. Have a good night.
Good night.
God bless you. Good night.
God bless you.
All right. Good night.
God bless you.
Right. So my sister calling too, right on this time. All right. God bless y'all.